friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all over you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
A little. You guys, we can't stop talking about dicks. Okay.
Sorry.
I'm trying to get them on track.
Good luck.
Well, I've got my micro penis whispering in my ear. I don't know if you can see it, but if you can, super cute. Woo. He just fell.
He didn't know where he was.
Anyway,
now you do. Finally, just got to spend time with us, that this would be like new excitement for him and he could keep up.
Oh yeah.
The fact that he's fully.
Who are you talking about?
I'm kind of.
How do you know it's a boy?
Oh. I'm sort of offended, and it's a dick.
I mean, I guess so. He's a positive penis. I may be a tiny penis, but I believe in you. Go do your thing.
Oh,
here we are doing our thing.
What's his thing, Lisa?
Keeping it up.
He sits on your desk.
Oh my gosh, yes, he does. I feel so good with him watching over me. He helps me make good decisions all day. So thank you, tiny. Penis.
Thank you, Pino.
This is the book we read. I don't know if you can see it. Wuthering Heights. If you haven't heard of it, what rock are you living under? It's a classic.
Yeah.
The Bronte sisters. This one was Emily Bronte.
Yes.
With the other Bronte, Charlotte Bronte. Valerie made us read Jane Eyre years ago, and I wanted to like...
What? Is that for book club?
And I was like, want to claw your eyes out, because I was like, this is torture. And then I was like, let's do Wuthering Heights.
Oh, and this one was worse.
So this was because I wanted to do this that. Because I love Margot Robbie and Jacob Elordi. And they are doing their Heathcliff and Catherine. So I'm like, I want to read the actual book before I see the movie. Mm-hmm. So I can compare and contrast like I like to do. So I would recommend reading the book before you ever watch a movie. It doesn't matter, even in this case, right?
Okay.
Well, so we're hoping to answer.
It was rough, I have to say.
It's hard when you don't actually like any of the characters in the story.
I think none of them were likable.
Yeah.
And if you don't take, like, if you don't actually take notes and use your detective, like, skills to, like, piece it all together, you have to cheat and read the cliff notes.
Yeah.
Which you just do, so...
Because this isn't one that you can do while you're doing the dishes. Your mind wanders too much. And
there's a lot of characters and there's a lot of drama and there's
so much drama.
A lot of abuse.
Yeah, it's a
so
rough
I'm
one.
Curious. I can't wait to see the movie and see how they depict it. Like, are they going to be as realistic as it was?
Is it going
book?
To be more romantic in some weird way?
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, I mean, I kept wondering as I was, you know, listening to this story, why is it so
celebrated
as a romance?
Well,
as
I get it.
No.
It's romance. Because it's
so
the connection.
It's because of this line.
Okay.
Say the line.
This line is, he's more myself than I am. Whatever our souls are made of, his and mine are the same. Which I think, I don't know, is it any more romantic to be the same as someone else? To have your souls that...
So I think that...
Similar?
Yes. I think that actually is connection. They are bonded.
They're soulmates.
Yeah.
So I guess we're going to keep talking about it, but let's find out what she's talking about with this. I think we kind of already know, huh? Anyway.
This is not Scooby-Doo.
I know. So let's get into it. The family tree is too much to keep track of. I can't even begin.
So I think what we're going to do is just focus on Heathcliff, Catherine.
Yeah.
Edgar, Isabella, and Nellie.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good way to do it.
Those are kind of, and a brother.
Harrington?
Harrington.
Yes.
Because he has
I was about to cheat.
Yeah, got it. He's got a role in this, too.
So let's talk about the characters.
So
like, who are
real
they?
Quick, Isabella and Harrington are the neighbors and their brother and sisters.
And where do they live?
And they live like 4 miles away from where.
So we've got Wuthering
Heights, Thrushcross Grange.
So Thrushcross Grange is where Isabella and Harrington live. Grange. I know. It's a tongue twister. I'm like,
Thrushcross Grange is down the way.
Down yonder.
And it's in a beautiful treed area. Mm. They've got like horses and horse stalls. And Wuthering Heights is on the... What is it?
Side of the moor.
It's just, They're what is brush, scrub and brush. There's like maybe one dead looking tree just outside the house. It's all built with rock. And well, in the very beginning of the story, it's a fairly warm house, you know, when Catherine and Edgar's father is living there and mm-hmm. the kids are young.
Yes.
It's fairly warm. There's love. The kids are kind of, for the time, wild, though. They are left to go.
Do whatever they want.
And wild.
I feel like it reminded me a little bit of my childhood.
Probably all of our childhood.
Me too. Yeah.
Absolutely. Like,
our parents had no idea.
No clue.
And
I wish we could go back.
Well, things kind of get interesting when the father, Harrington and Kathy's father. Harrington's older than Kathy, and he brings home Heathcliff from somewhere. I don't know.
From London.
He went on a business trip to London.
Yeah, and we don't know anything
about
Heathcliff.
And instead of bringing the kids home their treats, which they were really excited to get.
Like, here's this child.
Yeah, they get like a broken, violin because I was carrying.
But
he was carrying this child. Like, he was carrying Heathcliff home because he was late getting home. So he was carrying Heathcliff home. So,
but I want to know, like, they didn't have telephones. They didn't have telegram, like any way to communicate. Like,
and
for a man to just bring another child home without like saying, "Hey, hon, what do you think?"
Did I say Harrington? It's Hindley.
You did say Harrington.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
Hindley and Kathy are siblings.
Yes,
Hindley
and they are the Earnshaw.
Yes.
And so Mr. Earnshaw is like, Heathcliff is his favorite.
Yeah.
And that's why Hindley gets jealous and becomes
kind of nasty
and mean to Heathcliff.
Even though Heathcliff has no rights or ownership, I don't even know if he was officially adopted.
I don't know either. He was just brought into the home and then treated as a
child.
Not as a servant. As a child, he was not treated as a servant. Right. He was treated like the other children.
Right.
Until Mr. dies. He
gets so jealous that he has to send his actual son away to college.
Yeah.
Because it's just out of control.
Yeah.
They just can't
get it. And then there are like lots of years where Heathcliff and Catherine just run wild and they're having a great time.
Yeah.
Running wild as teenagers. Yeah. So at one point, they're wanting to go tease like the neighbors 4 miles away.
Well, they want to go. Kind of are interested in what that looks like. They're what's happening over there? They're not part of high society. I think they're like, they go to church and they like seem all proper and nice.
And when they go to church, they're like super unruly.
Yes.
Just naughty little kids. Like, I remember when I was a kid going to church. So you have like, I don't know, 50 rows of pews or whatever. And my mom couldn't keep track of us all. So like, we were unruly. 5 kids in 7 years, you cannot keep track of that. So I would like army crawl under the benches and like I would pinch their legs to see if they were wearing tights or not. I would run up in the front.
Oh, Lisa.
And I would like sit on the laps of like
Parents, did your family sit up like in
We sat wherever we could fit.
Or, you know, because they're like the
You didn't have a sign kind of seat.
What are those chairs called? The wigwam pews?
The pews.
And then behind there's fold-out chairs. We always sat in the fold-out chairs.
So that's because there's just not enough room for all those church-going people. But
I feel like families always were in the back, sort of.
Yeah.
And like the older people who were really reverend were like up in the pews.
Well, we would sit wherever we could fit whenever we got there, which was usually late.
And sometimes you'd have to break the family up just a little bit.
No.
Oh, the whole family sat together.
And we would just do naughty things. And then as soon as like the main meeting would get out and we'd break away to go to Sunday school, I would hide inside the bathrooms and I would stand on top of a toilet that would lock it and then I would watch and I would wait until like people just stopped coming into the bathroom and then I'd wait a couple more minutes and I'd be like, oh, okay, everybody must be in the classrooms doing Sunday school, and I would sneak out and then I would like go across the street and play at the playground and then kind of be aware of when like people would start coming out so I could like pretend like I'd been at church the whole time.
She's kindergarten too, though. I just hated all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So like I was when we're talking about these unruly kids, I'm like,
yeah, that was you.
was me.
When she was five, yeah. She would like, okay, she would hide when the bus came. Mm-hmm. And then she'd go play in the irrigation ditch. The entire
tree
day.
Tree houses, too. Don't
until
I knew all the best tree houses.
Yeah. I just, institutionalized settings were not for me.
If you're five.
So I was like, I understand why Kathy and Heathcliff were so unruly. So I was like, that was.
Well, they were like living in this like dream world. That was like they were living in their own like little dream world. Yeah. Like they were making their own like romance up as they were going. You know, they're like, this is the world we live in. Heathcliff, like, they collect birds' eggs and they'd like and hang out under the tree and
but if you think about
the clouds.
Like, there were no vehicles. So you had to go by foot or horse and carriage. Mm-hmm. Their nearest neighbors were like 4 miles away.
Yeah.
So for them that's like an all day to get there and back, mm-hmm. you know, with little kids. And so like what else are you gonna do? Like you don't have any socialization with anyone else.
Yeah.
It's just
so I think they're like they're interested in and Edgar and Isabella and the Lintons or no, sorry, the Earnshaws.
Well, I thought it was kind of when they got up to the house and they were
so Lintons, yes, the Lintons.
Yes.
So yeah,
Catherine's the proper people at church. Like they behaved and they knew their hymns and they knew their prayers.
So they're kind of hanging out looking outside the window and they have like a nice little life.
I used to break into my neighbor's houses all the time.
What would you do?
I just want to look and see like how other people live.
Wow.
It's interesting. That's pretty bold.
Yeah, it is bold.
I know. I got caught a couple times.
There's like, who's this child in my house? That's so great.
I'm curious.
Like, I'm just looking around. Don't mind me.
Go to the bathroom.
Do you have a sandwich?
I knew where all the cookies were. Are you
did you steal their cookies?
No. I knew where all the grandmas were. And I would also go visit all the grandmas of the neighborhood. And they would always give me cookies.
Oh, they're like, here's this child who needs some love attention.
Her parents obviously have no idea what she's doing.
We're like,
yeah. Well, who's did in that age?
My parents
did not know what I was doing. I walked out the door and I was somewhere in the neighborhood.
Were you breaking and entering at 5 years old, though?
House, yes.
Yeah, you did?
There was like, it was an abandoned house. I remember there's this area in Salt Lake City that's up by the University of Utah. It's super nice houses. And my friend lived up there. And we were wild too. Like we just, I don't think her mom cared either. We'd just go out. We'd walk around the university campus and stuff like that. But there's this abandoned house or no one was living there at the time. And it seemed really scary to like go walk in.
Oh, totally. Those were the best to break into.
It was like it was a big old house. So yeah, we walked in and I remembered there wasn't a lot of furniture, but there was some like lingering a chair or, you know. Interesting pieces left.
This thing's still there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only time we broke in.
I remember one of the houses we broke into, and I thought it was also abandoned. There were just like dead flies all over their moth.
What are those little
carpet?
Yeah, what are those tiny little red? You know, they're
ladybugs.
No, they're
box elder bugs.
Yes. There was a gazillion of box. Yes, there were a gazillion of box elder bugs all over the house.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah. And that creeped me out. Like, I really remember those flies. Mm-hmm. But then, I don't remember, we were upstairs, like, a car pulled up to the house. So we, like, snuck out the back way.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's just crazy. We were crazy.
Yeah.
We never had to break into houses. Ours was a new neighborhood, and the houses had been built. It was still new, so there was never any, like, abandoned houses. But we had fields. So we just crossed a highway, you know, at 5 years old by ourselves. And
how many lanes, right?
It was four. So we just go across four lanes of, you know, traffic.
55 miles an hour traffic.
Yeah. And then, it wasn't quite 55, but, you know.
Yeah.
And then we would go and play in this field where people would dump all their garbage. And so we'd go through, you know, like.
Yeah.
All there's so many treasures.
So many treasures. And then we'd build our rickety treehouse clubhouses in the base of the trees and everything over there. Yeah. And then we'd go over to the sand dunes and really be brain children and like dig holes in the sand dunes and, you know, to build.
Your little
cubby.
Yeah.
Died there.
Whoa.
When I was there.
No, yeah. I was like, what?
Did they let them, like, somebody
one of the kids did what we did.
What?
When I got older.
And was
the sand fell off because they did just the same thing that we did.
You guys just were lucky.
Who was it that had the friends that built the tunnels?
Me?
That was Courtney.
That was Courtney.
Underground tunnels.
Yeah, so that's.
I think we have.
Yeah,
we did.
Crazy.
It is crazy.
But like, that's kind of what I was picturing these.
Yes, absolutely.
And that doesn't seem like something that should make you evil.
No.
But both of those two turned out ugly people.
Well, and I think I remember also, you know, pretending about, like, we were like envisioning fairies. I mean, like, really, there were fairies and there were little gnomes. I mean, they were happening all around us, and we were making like little, you know, fairy houses and stuff. And that's what I saw these two doing. They're like living in this make believe sort of world together.
Yeah.
That they create themselves.
Yeah.
And so they really are connected in this other way besides just living in the same house together or maybe learning to read together.
That would have to be kind of weird in some senses, because here you have this person who you're being raised as if he's your brother, but he's also not your brother. He's also
There's
just
no
not
blood
your
relation.
Brother.
Well, when they get older, they're like, they go kiss and stuff and, you know, in corners. And
did they really? I miss.
I mean,
no, I missed that part.
Yeah,
but you know,
I don't think it was anything more. But
still, like,
they're curious.
But for that era, even just
the act of kissing, they were unruly. Your hormones are probably raging, and they're at that age, and there's no other male or female around, and so they're just like, hey,
what about you? Why not?
Which just.
And back then, cousins married cousins.
Yeah.
So it's not like that weird to kiss your maybe brother.
Well, did you guys remember when Flowers in the Attic was super popular?
Oh, yes, totally.
So this.
You have to explain it to me because
okay, so this mom gets what a divorce and she goes has to live with her parents and takes her kids. And her parents have this huge house. And then I think she, is it the grandma or the mom? They put all the kids up in the attic. And there's like four.
They pretend that they don't live, that they're not there. So here's the reason. Oh. She left out a part of the story.
Oh, I think, yeah.
So,
go ahead.
The mom was disowned from her family because she married a particular boy. Well, come to find out that this boy.
Oh, when they got divorced.
No.
No?
This man died.
Oh, okay.
He was her half-brother. And she didn't know it because her dad raped her mom. And
I forgot that
her dad. So yeah. So the dad, her dad, her mom is actually not her
actual mother.
Mom.
Her biological mother. Oh. But she was raised to think that.
Yes. And so what they did is they trapped. So her husband's father married this when he was in his elderly years. He was just a lovely person. He married this bubbly, bright, beautiful, beautiful younger girl. They had a baby. That's the son, you know. And then the grandpa father, you know, the older father, he died. But his son always coveted his wife.
The younger wife,
The younger pretty wife and stuff, because his wife wasn't that pretty. And anyway, so he rapes her after the dad
dies.
She gets pregnant, and they hide her up in the attic, and they basically
while she's pregnant,
and they she kind of goes insane, and the other mom pretends that she's the one pregnant,
well, like just putting more pillows or
so then she has the baby.
Wait, so his actual wife.
His wife pretends she's pregnant. The other one has the baby. And she, like, dies shortly after that. Mm-hmm. So then you have these two that are actually more than half siblings, because the only difference between them is the father versus the son.
Yeah.
Anyway, but those
Wait, is this a true story?
No.
Those two
what is this from? What
this is Flowers from? In the Attic.
This is Flowers in the Attic. This was super popular when I was like in middle school.
Like, all of us read it.
Maybe
all
even a lot younger.
Yeah. I missed it.
I forgot all that. All I remember is like the kids being up in the attic.
And the reason they put him up in the attic is because they put the woman up there in the attic for 9 months too.
Okay, yeah.
And so they were like, oh, we know this works.
Yeah. So they put them up there and there's like four, right? There's an older, there's a brother, a sister, and then
two younger siblings.
But the two older ones like get become sexually involved with each other.
So what else are you going to do?
Well, yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Shoot. Well, there's the connection then.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It's a great story.
That's the connection.
So there's that one. You can read two flowers in the attic. It's just as weird as this one. Yeah. Maybe not as weird. But.
Well, I'm kind of weirder.
Kind of pointed out that the Bronte sisters were known for being a little bit edgy and
talking about women's struggles.
Yeah.
And how the pressures of society within them, because that leads into what Catherine then has to decide upon. Because when they get caught spying on those little neighborhood kids, she's welcomed. Yeah, they both try to run away.
She gets bit by a dog.
Yes. And so then she ends up getting brought into their home and they befriend her.
And they not only do they befriend her, but they tame her a little bit. They teach her how to be
and who wouldn't love that? They
they doted on her.
Yeah, she gets nice clothes. Yeah. She's pampered. Mm-hmm. You know, she gets fed good food.
And
she's served.
Yep.
And waited on.
And she's you get the vibe that she's very beautiful. And she kind of is she sort of becomes the belle of, not that she's introduced to other people, but she's she really looks the part.
They cleaned her up like a pretty penny.
Mm-hmm.
So she was looking
pretty
and she
snazzy.
Knew it.
Yeah, yes. And Edgar totally falls in love with her, and Isabella loves her as a sister. I mean, they both kind of get something out of Catherine being there.
Absolutely.
She was there for 5 weeks, and then she returns back to her home. Yeah. Where it's just Heathcliff and her father. And at this point, I think the brother is still away at college.
Yes.
And she kind of snubs Heathcliff a little bit.
Yeah, she has these white gloves on, and he takes her hands and she's kind of laughing at him.
Dirty.
She's like, she's kind of laughing at him in the way he looks. Uh-huh. Totally makes him feel bad. And then, you know, he takes his hands away from hers and she looks at her gloves and they're all dirty. And she's like, ew.
Yeah, you're dirty. Now she's looking down on him.
Yeah, it makes him feel so bad.
And then
he's just been worried about her and pining over her the whole time she's been gone.
He's been missing her.
Yeah.
Yes. And then not too long after that, I think her dad dies. Yeah. And so that, because Heathcliff has no bearings on that estate, the brother comes back home. But at this point, he's married Frances.
Yes.
And they take over the estate. And he treats Heathcliff like an animal.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
He makes him work harder than anyone else in hard, hard labor.
Yes.
And so Heathcliff is kind of stuck there.
But Kathy actually endures some of his trials with him in defiance to her brother.
Yeah. She still cares deeply for Heathcliff.
Yeah.
And when he gets locked up in the attic for days, she goes along the edge and, you know, sneaks into where he's at. Mm-hmm. So they still have a very connection bond. And this is when you start realizing that they don't have the nicest of personalities.
Yeah.
He's getting abused.
My childhood awfulness. But they didn't so much. But we don't know a lot about Heathcliff before the age of 10.
No.
We just knew that he was basically taken off the streets of London. Yeah. So who knows?
Oh, all
what
the trauma
could have happened.
Absolutely.
I mean, they said that he would. One of the reasons he became the favorite was because even when something terrible happened to him, he wouldn't cry.
He probably had to survive.
Absolutely, you know, he didn't show outward signs of registering pain and different things, which is all trauma responses.
Yeah, pretty traumatized as a goat, but we don't know exactly what that looked like. We don't know much about that, but
so maybe who knows? He's rejected as a child and rejected by his true love. Maybe that just all brings it all back. You know, the rejection.
Absolutely.
Second time around.
Yeah. I wish I knew more about Heathcliff. Did his parents die? Did some kind of plague, you know, hit them? That seemed to happen a lot. And so that's why he was abandoned, or could they just not take care of him? Because that happened a lot too. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but
mother could have been, you know, unwed mom, and then she dies.
And they do make a point of him being very dark. Compared to the rest of them.
Yeah.
Almost looking like he could have been from India. And so who knows?
Who knows?
Well, then it comes down to the point where there's that day where Kathy is, you know, with the Nellie. And Nellie knows that Kathy is mean.
Yeah.
Nellie
So Nellie is the maid. I don't think you've made that.
Nellie is the maid. And Nellie knows that Kathy is mean.
She's a little brat.
You know, I think Nellie plays a really interesting role because she raises Kathy.
She raises multiple generations.
Well, she was kind of.
And she was close to their age.
She was just a little bit older than them.
It sounded like she was almost like a sibling to the father, Earnshaw.
Oh, really?
Father Earnshaw. That's why she.
A little bit.
And then she raises. She does a lot of caregiving to Heathcliff, Hindley, and Catherine.
Yes.
And so Heathcliff is never horrible to Nellie. Horrible.
Yeah.
She's the only one that he lets confides in and also lets kind of
reprimand him too. Yeah. Like she can actually say, hey, knock it off or whatever. He kind of has some.
He has all the respect for her that he doesn't see for anyone else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so does Catherine. But Catherine's still.
She's a little brat.
She's brat. Yeah. She's still mean kind of bratty to Nellie. But then she always.
She can be really bossy to Nellie. Then she'll apologize. After.
Yes. Yes. She loves Nellie.
When she got to that point, she, you know, her and Nellie were having tiff because Nellie was sort of like, what are you playing at a little bit? And then she actually like pinches Nellie and then slaps her. But this was overseen by Harrington.
Mm-hmm.
And he had never seen this side of Kathy before. Like he was like, oh my gosh, you know, I just thought she was this, you know, pretty princess, you know, this girl that we brought in and tamed and, you know, but I didn't know that she had this.
Edgar?
Edgar, exactly. Yes.
Okay.
So Edgar was like, I did not know.
Until then, he was just enamored by her.
Totally 100% enamored with her. Mm-hmm. And then he saw her treat Nellie this way and he was like, oh my, we're done. Instantly was like, we're done.
Yeah.
But then somehow she twisted it and she got a wedding proposal out of it.
She did.
Because she was like, I have these, you know, I get passionate. I get this and that like that. And are you going to abandon me when I'm, you know, this and stuff?
My passions are just taking hold of me.
Yeah, exactly. And then Nellie
was dramatic too. It was so hard.
Oh, it was so. It was so manipulative.
Yes,
it was. But I think people do that.
I think so too.
I think people get so stunned by people's like hyper emotion states, like that they're like, okay, I'll do whatever you want just to get you to calm down.
Well, and then when they calm down and then they can soothe them, then, and that's what Nellie said. She was like, once they went through the heat of it, you know, that was such an intense moment that it actually brought them closer than he proposed.
As weird as that sounds, I can kind of see it. Like, I've seen it happen.
Yeah. No,
sometimes
it's
some people, like, they just really get drawn into, like, being the soother of someone's out of control emotions. And it sometimes can, like, you know. So they're, like, almost complete opposites in a sense.
Yeah.
They're nothing like each other. And then, she gets a proposal out of it.
Yeah.
And then we don't know yet what she says to him, but she does ask Nellie. She confides in Nellie.
Yeah, she confides in Nellie because
about this proposal.
Yeah, she comes down one night. She's like, can I tell you a secret now?
Yes.
Yes.
That you won't tell anybody else. And she doesn't realize that Heathcliff is like
in the room. Yep. She has no idea he's there.
Nope. And so she.
Her big choice then is. Do I stay, you know, do I hope that Heathcliff will ask me to marry him because him and I, because right after that, when she's talking to Nellie is when she does your quote, which
she makes a point that Edgar is like high society and Heathcliff is like the dirt.
Edgar's handsome. They have money. You know, make her like the most popular woman.
Yeah. And as far as like, it just makes sense logically.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. To marry someone like Edgar versus Heathcliff.
And then Nellie really like pushes her. She says, well, like, you know, tell me more. Like,
she's like, I love him. Well, tell me why do you love him?
Why?
Yeah.
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 She's like, don't be silly because he's rich, because he's handsome, because he's charming. Nellie's like, all of those things can change. Tell me, why do you love him?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, she comes to Nellie like asking, what should I do? I've already made up my answer, but I still want your opinion.
Yes. And I love what Nellie said. Nellie was like, well, if all you're caring about is what's best for today, then him being handsome today, him having money today, mm-hmm. him being, you know, kind today. Well, if all you care about is today, then that's your answer.
Right.
Because Nellie wasn't going to give her an answer. She was like, I'm not going to give you an answer, but I'll ask you questions to help you.
Which is kind of the best thing you can do.
Absolutely.
Because you can't tell someone else what to do, especially with a big decision like that.
Yeah, let me ask you questions that will really reveal how you truly feel.
Yeah.
You know?
And maybe make you think a little bit about what you're doing.
Yeah.
But then when she reveals that she had already said yes, well, Heathcliff standing in the corner, you know, he gets upset and he leaves and not just leaves, like he's gone for good.
Yeah. He walks across the moor and Catherine doesn't see him again for a while.
Right.
But we don't know because we're not going to talk to people about what decision is made there.
We don't want to reveal any more than what we have.
Well, we can still talk about that. He does come back.
Right.
But we don't know decisions made. We don't know ramifications of decisions. No. And I think some of the stuff that's interesting to still talk about is, I think, two of the points that come up with this story a lot. The first point is, mm-hmm. You know, women have such a pressure in society, especially in Victorian, you know, in that society, in that era, mm-hmm. you know, that they needed to marry for the status. They needed to marry for the
wealth. They couldn't own lands.
Exactly.
I mean, you were destitute.
Yeah.
If you didn't. Like, it was that important. Widowed. Or you could be a maidservant. Nellie.
Well, women really couldn't even inherit. You know,
they couldn't.
A lot of stuff.
Well, they were going to have it inherit. Yeah. Like she was going to, because on Edgar's side of the family, Edgar's dad said, well, it'll go to Edgar, his heirs. But if he doesn't have any heirs, then it'll go to my daughter.
Because I think that like if said. She hadn't been married, she could get the money. But if she does marry, and
it automatically defaults to
the husband. So all of her family's money, if she gets married, goes to the man, which is
whatever. Yeah. That's how it was until about the 1980s.
So let's talk about like what life would look like mm-hmm. if she ends up with each of them.
Okay.
So let's say Edgar. She chooses Edgar. What does her life look like?
Well, it depends.
Prosperous. I mean, they live in a nice place.
Fresh Cross Grange.
It would depend.
They'll go to church.
And I think that they could be happy and have a pleasant life as long as she doesn't have any reminders of her former life.
Can they? Because she's volatile. She's so volatile. She's untamable, really.
Well, I think she looks at opportunities to make
drama.
Drama.
She loves it.
She really does.
Yeah, she does.
Because she's drama herself. You know, any little thing she's, you know, has a little episode.
Maybe Edgar is really drawn to that.
Maybe he likes it because their life is so...
His life is so no thrill. She's definitely full of thrills.
Yeah. But I think at some point it becomes like it starts to get abusive.
Yeah.
And it can start to wear on a person.
I agree.
So I think that would be very hard.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. At some point it's probably for Edgar. He is over it. Mm-hmm. And he probably gets tired of that situation.
So what do you do at that point? Do you just take him into the doctor and say, stick a needle in her eye?
Like, well, probably knowing that.
Probably would just stay away.
He'd probably not come around. He'd probably go on business trips forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or he'd lock her in the attic. Or like the other.
I don't think
Edgar wouldn't do that.
I think he would probably just go stay in his study or like have to go do business trips.
Yes,
or,
I see that.
Or drink all the time.
Yeah.
I know he wasn't that way though.
I didn't see that guy. So that would be her future with him. What would her future be with Heathcliff when they're both just such bitter, nasty people who hold grudges like no one's business?
Well, they would probably get to stay at Wuthering Heights indefinitely.
Yeah.
Would they become better people because they're together, or would they become evil people
when together? I think they're just evil, but they are also really they're kind of, they don't encourage each other to become better. They encourage each other to.
They're mischievous.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I keep thinking either, I don't think that they would bring out the best in each other. I think that they would become
partners in crime.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I think of anyone that's like the two of them.
I don't know anyone like that.
I could see that.
Bonnie and Clyde?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I could see, like, if they were to stay together, I could see that maybe like plotting
all the time.
Plotting how to kill the older brother so they could then become the main estate owners.
I can see that.
I could totally see that. I could see them then trying, you know, becoming criminals together.
So do you think that Catherine can make anybody better?
No.
Because it sounds like no matter who she's with, it's going to suck.
Yeah.
I think she just likes drama and she likes to make things kind of
and
she's crazy and super self-centered.
She is.
Beyond self-centered. She's more self-centered. I don't know. They're so similar. I don't know who's more self-centered, her or Heathcliff.
And Heathcliff is because he, like, you know, they say narcissists aren't, like, born. They're made because it's a response to survival.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's how they become so self-centered. And I can definitely say that for him, that's probably what happened.
And, you know,
I don't get it.
He's self-centered, but he's also... I mean, he's driven by anger.
Yeah.
And it's, he only wants to get back at the people. Yes. That's the only thing that motivates him.
Revenge and anger.
That's the only thing that motivates him.
She's drama driven. He's anger driven.
Yeah. He just wants to revenge and certain things that have happened to him. That's all I can think about. Yeah. And that's what drives him. It drives him to make money. It drives him to, like, do everything that he's ever done is just simply for revenge and the anger.
She's not going to get a happy ending then.
She is not. I don't think it matters because she's kind of not a good person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't think that either of them would work. We think it's practical that, you know, either of those situations could work. Like they would meet or get married, but
would
they
there be
last.
A middle, like Edgar is too blah for her and Heathcliff is too mean.
Yeah.
I wonder, like, could she have someone in the middle who could handle her drama-iness, but had a little spunk to them so, you know, they wouldn't get...
Sure. Yeah. I'm sure there's someone for everyone. Yeah.
But what would
you do? They'd have to be a pretty special person.
What do you do when you identify with someone who's just as icky as you, as your soulmate?
Yeah, right? So that's, again, like, my favorite line. He's more myself than I am, whatever our souls are made of. His and mine are the same.
Well, here's the thing about this book, too. I mean, it's supposed to be just this epic romance. And I didn't see anything. I didn't see romance at all. To me, it was just...
They definitely felt tormented.
Yes.
The two of them. And maybe that's the tragedy of it, I guess.
Maybe. I just didn't even feel like... I didn't feel sad that they didn't end up together. And I mean, and I think that's what, like, a romance to me is, is that... You love these two people together so much that it's
fight
so sad that they're not together. I did not care about these two people at all. I'm like,
was that just because they both individually were so disdainful?
They're not likable people.
They're not.
So you can't root for them. No. And like, you want to root for somebody that has something that's, you know, they want to achieve, but there's something holding them back. Like, you're rooting for them to, like, overcome that obstacle.
Well, even the saying, you know, it's like, it's the saying where, you know, you've got, like, your soulmate, this person you find and you love, but things don't quite work out. And that is tragic. I mean, I guess that is, but for these two, but they were not lovely people.
The tragedy was the lack of any personal growth.
Yes. Yes.
But isn't it also beautiful? Shouldn't people like that end up with each other instead of one of those? Look at what happens when, you know, like, just let's stop and think about what would happen to the other people in the story if they ended up with either one of them.
Right. Maybe,
that'd be terrible
maybe
for them.
If Catherine and Heathcliff had ended up together, they wouldn't have ruined everyone else's life.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They would have just ruined.
And
they would have been in their own chaos.
They would have. Yeah. They would have had moments of extreme passion and moments of extreme horribleness. It would have been volatile. Yeah.
They really should have ended up together.
They really should have.
Yeah.
And maybe that's my conclusion.
Yeah. Okay. I like it.
I wish they would help. I think that's
and maybe they do.
Point.
Was this a spicy book?
No.
Yeah.
Not even green pepper.
Spicy. Considering I don't even remember the kisses in the corner as kids.
Yeah, it was just a green pepper.
It was a green pepper. Who would you guys recommend it to?
I don't know.
Well, I think it's just an interesting take on history.
It is.
And reading the classics, like, I will say my brain must have evolved to only be able to tolerate the books that are now written, like, that are really fast-paced.
Oh, yeah.
This was really hard because I feel like she maybe wrote it chronologically, but then she just kind of, like, played mix match and moved the chapters all over, but left little clues to make you figure out how things actually lined out. Mm-hmm. It was really hard.
I don't know.
It kind of started sort of at the end, and then it skipped back and forth all over, and it was like, it was hard. It was a hard read.
Yeah. I kind of kept thinking about that the whole time I was listening to it. I'm like, mm-hmm. why is this so difficult? And I couldn't put my finger on it exactly. I think it was all the weird drama. There was like pages of drama and it lost
to me. Point that it was like, come on, this is not even believable at this point.
Yes.
You had nothing to root for with the characters, so it was hard to get like
that's where I had yeah, and like I hated
them all.
I didn't like any of the characters.
My attention was lost. And I was just like, oh, here she goes. She's on another tyrant. She's
and
like,
you didn't blah, even blah, have blah. Hope just, that yeah. they would be redemptive characters. Yeah. So there was nothing to, like, you just really had nothing to root for. And that's why I think it was so hard to read.
Yeah.
It's like me.
I don't know, but I like your whatever that is. Yeah. I mean, maybe recommend it to all those English students in high school that have to read it.
I don't even know if this is high school. Like, I don't think they would even be that cool. It would probably be college level English.
Well, like Bob read this in high school.
Really? But that was, you know, they've gotten nicer over the years.
I don't know. They're still reading some of the books I read in high school.
Absolutely.
What did you have to read? I read Fahrenheit, is it 451 by Ray Bradbury?
Yeah.
The Scarlet Letter.
Yeah.
Of course, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah.
Of Mice and Men.
Yeah. The Kids on the Island.
Oh, yeah.
Lord of the Flies.
I didn't have to read that.
Oh,
I know that one. My kids both had to do, of course, To Kill a Mockingbird and then West Side Story.
Oh, yeah.
No, they did that. They did something about, what is it? The Omnivore's Dilemma.
Oh, they did that? Oh, I love that. I mean, that's
really a newer book. Yeah.
Newer book. I like that book.
They had to read that. I felt like Livia had to read To Kill a Mockingbird three times.
Well, it's a good one.
It was a good one.
I think Hal had to read it twice, too.
Yeah. Feel like every year they're like, let's read it again. It's that good.
Return the Rye, we read, too. As it's a book I'd actually really like to read again. I don't know. It was haunting for me at the time when I read it.
I still haven't read it. So
I'll get
maybe
to it. Maybe we should. I don't think it's a love story, though.
Maybe for book club,
I should do it.
I feel like we just did, and I still didn't read it.
We read Catcher in the Rye from book club?
I thought we did.
I missed that one.
I missed it, too.
Anyway, so those are the books that we're reading now in schools. But yeah, you want to go to college English class, they'll probably have you read this. Or if you are one of those people, I will say this. Oh, so the Wicked is out, right? Did you guys know that was a book?
Yeah, I read it.
Did you read it?
Yeah.
Did you read it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Oh, I read it.
I didn't
think that the movie or the Broadway totally left out so many things.
It's so different than the book.
Yeah, the book is so good.
Yeah, the book is incredible. So Gregory Maguire, who does write in like old English style, but it's very entertaining.
Yeah.
I really love his writing. So anyway,
all right.
I would recommend that. I feel so bad. Read that and then go see Wicked again a million times over.
But I do say I'm excited for the movie.
Yeah.
And it was nice to read the book. So then that way we could.
We'll have a little crush on the guy who is in that.
Jacob
movie.
Elordi.
Yeah,
cute.
It's
pretty well, cool. So yeah. One thing that.
He's 25, I think.
Gross.
One thing 35. That we have to say about this.
That's so gross.
I don't know. I think he's in his 30s.
I don't know, but I just, yeah.
Not that I am thinking that. I'm just thinking he's cute.
He is cute.
Why
I just want to. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why he's in the movies.
Yeah. You can pretend.
Sorry, Jacob, if you're watching this.
That's so funny.
Just sorry. I'm 55.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you for listening to us try to sort our way through Wuthering Heights.
Yeah. And one thing about it, when you do read it, we only discussed the first half of the book.
That is true.
So there's And
there's a whole other
part of the book that kind of comes after the decision of whether who she should be with.
It's the ramifications of her choice.
Absolutely.
See how that plays out.
Yeah.
And not just how we would play it out.
Exactly.
How the author plays it out. So if you want to go to our website, www.myperfectromance.com. Yeah. Send us a love story. Reach out. We can interview you. And thanks for listening.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye.